Okay, let's turn our Bibles to Matthew chapter number 17. And, of course, we've looked at different passages of this great time of the Lord showing his power against the powers of Satan. And verse 20, we'd like to look at that tonight as the disciples ask why they were not able to cast out this demon and be victorious over Satan's foes. And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible to you. Now, I'm just being reminded tonight as we take these prayer requests of the real needs in front of us. And when you really get down dealing with the real needs of people, which are spiritual needs, the needs of their soul, we realize that really we are delving into the area of the impossible. It is God that must do the work. Only God can open a heart. Only God can give understanding. Only God can give a desire for truth. You know, the Bible says our heart in itself, there is none that seeketh after God. There is none that doeth good. That is the human heart in itself. The human heart in itself would never seek after God. The human heart in itself does not understand the things of God. The human heart in itself would choose to go its own way and to reject Jesus Christ and to reject truth and continue on in man's way. And so man needs some interference. That interference can only come from God. And really, that's what this service is all about. This service is all about recognizing that we are in the greatest need of man is a spiritual need. And it is totally, we are total in need of God to do a work in people's lives. And whether that work be the work of conviction, which is convincing a person of their sin, convincing a person of the beauty and the glory of Jesus and holy living, whether it is the Holy Spirit showing a person that they are lost. You know, you can't convince a person that they're lost. Only God can do that. And there's a Spirit of God. That's his task. You know, the devil is going to tell people they're okay. And but the Holy Spirit needs to tell people that, you know, once a person, when the Holy Spirit tells a person they're on their way to hell, they know it. That settles it. But the Holy Spirit has to convince them of judgment. If the Holy Spirit doesn't do that, they're fine. They'll figure out some way that they're going to make it somehow because they're good or because they're religious or because they just prayed a prayer someday or had a religious, you know, a zap someday or whatever. You know, it's the Holy Spirit that has to do the work. And, of course, we have the problem of people in themselves. The Bible says, in man himself, there is none that seeketh after God. But you know, we have another problem, and that is we have added to man's willful rebellion against God, an inability to understand the things of God, and his desire to go his own way. We have the powers of Satan working in man's heart beyond that. And Satan blinds people to the truth. Satan opposes people to come to the gospel. He opposes people to come to Vacation Bible School. He puts all sorts of things in their life to oppose any effort that they might make towards the Lord and towards spiritual things. And so we recognize tonight the importance that this is a spiritual matter, and that it is God that must do the work. And the work cannot be done. God needs vessels. God needs human vessels. God needs clean vessels. God needs yielded vessels. God needs vessels that are available and willing. But the most we can be is a vessel. Now, praise God, God does use vessels. And if we are led of the Lord, if we are led of the Lord, if we are walking with God, God very uniquely puts us in the path of people. You know, I don't remember sometime this week, I think, just think about this lady who saw the summer camp brochure at, I think it was Chen's Kitchen, and her interest was aroused. And then someone gave her a Vacation Bible School flyer, and her interest was stirred some more, and she came. Now, God uses people. I'm amazed that throughout the years, people that the Lord is working on, I might see them at this store, I might see them at that store, I might see them here, I might see them there, I might see them constantly, but I've also noticed when people turn their back on the Lord, those same people that I would see often, I never would see them again for 5 or 10 years. Never see him again. Never cross their path. Because they had said no to God. But we have a very important truth here. And I would there's a couple things that I would like us to pray specifically about. Psalm 31 and verse 5. I think this is something that we need to pray specifically about. And that is that people would realize that the God of the Bible is the God of truth. The God of the Bible is the God of truth. Notice Psalm 31, verse 5, "Into thine hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth." Now, the God of the Bible is a God of truth. He gives the truth. He has given us the truth of the Bible. He is a God of truth. He leads by the truth. He is worshiped in spirit and in truth. He is known by the truth. You know, the God of the Bible is a God of truth. Now, I think that's one of our prayers. Is, you know, there's a lot of people that are content to have a relationship with a God that is not a God of truth. In fact, I think that the average American today doesn't really care about truth. They don't really care what the Bible says. They just want to feel good about God. They want to feel good about their religion. They just want to have an emotional relationship with God. But you know, the Bible, the God of the Bible, is a God of truth. And we need to pray that, especially ladies, moms, in Mornings for Moms, will somehow God will open up their eyes that the God of the Bible is the God of truth. A couple other interesting verses with that phrase in it, Deuteronomy 32 and verse 4. In the context, it says, "Give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak, and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. My doctrine shall drop as the rain, my speech shall distill as the dew, and the small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass." Notice that it says truth is like showers on the grass. Well, last summer we didn't have much rain, and the grass was dry and dead. This summer we had lots of rain, and the grass is green and luscious. And the Bible says that the truth of God is like the dew upon the grass. It makes for a flourishing and prosperous and growing person. Because I will publish the name of the Lord, ascribe ye greatness unto our God. He is the rock. His work is perfect. All his ways are judgment. A God of truth. God of the Bible is a God of truth. Isaiah 65, verse 16. It says that he who blesseth himself in the earth, in other words, if you want to be blessed on the earth or in the earth, shall bless himself in the God of truth. In other words, if you want God's blessing upon your life, you want to be in the center of God's blessing, you want to enjoy the blessings of God, he says that is centered in the God of truth, the God of the Bible, the God who reveals himself in the Bible. He is a God of truth. He is not a God of your own or my own thinking or ideas or anything like that. He is the God. He is the God of the Bible. And as a God of truth, those who know the truth, receive the truth, believe the truth, live the truth, love the truth. What does he say? They will be blessed. And he that sweareth on the earth shall swear by the God of truth. What a great description of God. God is a God of truth. How do you know God? You know him through the Bible. He is not any other God than the God revealed in the Bible. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And we live in a day of pragmatism, and people say whatever works, that's God. We live in a day of humanism, and whatever makes me feel good, that's God. We live in a day of human pride, that whatever I think, that's the way it is. But you know, God is in conflict with all of that because he is the God of truth. And so let's pray that God will open people's eyes to the fact that God is the God of truth. And you know, I was just thinking about this. We send missionaries to Kenya, and we would like to think that, you know, in Kenya there aren't any churches. No churches. That's not true. in Theca, where the Simonsons and Ranges are, in some places there is a church on almost every block. Almost every block. You know why we send missionaries to Kenya? Because God is a God of truth. And there's churches on every corner, but do they preach the truth? No, they don't preach the truth. They, they have a good rock concert every Sunday, and they have a lot of good dancing, and they have a lot of good shouting, and they have a lot of religion, and they have almost no changed life. Why would you send a missionary? Because God is a God of truth. And the God of truth saves people. And Satan is a liar. And he is, I think you'd be shocked. Don't you think people would be shocked if they go to Kenya? And they some places every 1,000 feet there's another church, isn't there? And, but they don't know the Bible. They don't know the truth. And a lot of them have a lot of good dancing skills, but aren't saved because they don't know the truth and they aren't living the truth. And so I think that's a thought that we really need to think about. Acts chapter 5, we need to pray for young people and adults as well. I think we need to pray that that God would grant unto them repentance. Acts chapter 5, it says, Him hath God exalted with His right hand, verse 31, to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. For to give repentance to Israel and the forgiveness of sins. We're preaching on Jonah. And Jonah is one of the clearest examples in the Bible of what repentance is. You know, repentance is not intention. Repentance is not simply saying, I'm sorry for my sin. You know, in Jonah we have very clear example of what real repentance is. And in Jonah, the word for repentance is what? What's the synonym for repentance in Jonah? Turn. You know, if you're going this way and you say, I repent, is that repentance? What do you think? No, you said, I repent, I repent, I repent, I repent. Is that repentance? No. What is repentance? Repentance is, oh, I see I'm going the wrong way. This is wicked. And I'm tired of it. And I'm tired. And I know this will plunge me right into hell and judgment. I'm ended going this way. I'm going this way. That's repentance. But you know, who can give repentance when the Bible says no man seeks after God? It has to be a work of what? It has to be a work of the Holy Spirit. It has to be the work of God. And as we think about that, that's what prayer meeting is all about. You know, we're talking about God doing the work. And only the work that He does is the real thing. And we really need to pray in that regard. And there's so many other things that we could encourage you to pray about. But I'd like us to encourage you to pray about those two things specifically, that God would reveal Himself as a God of truth, and that God would work in hearts to bring them to repentance. Bring them to repentance. And then just this simple verse in Acts 1, verse 14, that just gives us the spirit of the New Testament church, Acts 1, 14. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. And so there needs to be that spirit of unity and that fervor that we share tonight as we pray. You know, when you're out in the boat and you got your fishing line and you paid for your fishing license, you know, it's not time to read a book. You know what I mean? It's time to bait the hook or get the lure on the line and throw it in the water, right? And so, you know, now is a very specific and crucial time for us to be praying as we have 2 days left and Friday night of a vacation Bible school. And so let's go have that spirit of prayer tonight in our midst. Let's bow in prayer. Father, thank you, Lord, for the blessings, Lord, of those who have already turned to Christ. We thank you for those that, Lord, you're speaking to and that they yet need to turn to Christ. And we would pray for your working in hearts, Lord. We would do pray that especially adults, Lord, who, when they come to a church like this, they think of what it's going to cost them to live this kind of Christian life. And Lord, we know that is true, and your Holy Spirit can bring them through that. But Lord, they need to realize that you're the God of truth. And Lord, if they're going to obey you and live for you, it's not an issue of one church versus another. It's the issue of what is the truth. And Lord, only you can show that to people. And Lord, there might even be those here tonight that need to realize that. It's a matter of what is the truth. And that you are a God of truth. And they that worship you must worship you and in spirit and in truth, Lord. And I pray that, Lord, that you in your mercy would so work in hearts that there would be a turning from sin and a turning to Christ. And so, Lord, pray that you would be glorified and energize all the workers that as they come tomorrow, certainly in the weariness of all the effort, that they would not rely upon their own strength, but rely upon you. Now, bless us in our prayer time. Our missionaries need us to intercede in their behalf. There's multitudes here. Even that are coming to my Bible school that need us to intercede on their behalf. And so, Lord, grant us, Lord, your leading and unction even as we pray tonight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.